Hello, you are listening to The Wellness Project with Des. I'm your host Desiree, a mental health therapist and holistic wellness coach. On my podcast, I interview experts in the field of mental health and wellness, as well as those who share their firsthand accounts of their mental health journeys. These interviews will give you many tips, tools, and strategies to improve your mental health, as well as give you hope, support, encouragement, and inspiration on your own personal mental health and wellness journey. Thanks so much for being here. I would greatly appreciate it if you took a moment to leave me a review on iTunes and leave the podcast 5 stars on Spotify. It really helps the podcast to grow, which in turn helps me to keep bringing on amazing guests and spreading mental health and wellness education and support. And make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss an episode. Are you ready to embark on a transformative journey towards holistic well-being, unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit? If so, I'm thrilled to invite you to my program, the Holistic Wellness Transformation Coaching Program. My one-to-one coaching program is a comprehensive and individualized approach to help you improve your overall well-being. As a holistic wellness coach, I'm here to guide you on a transformative journey to attain balance and harmony in all areas of your life. With personalized coaching sessions, I'll offer guidance and support throughout your wellness journey, starting with a thorough holistic assessment. We'll dive into your past, habits, thoughts, feelings, behaviors, and patterns that may be holding you back and no longer serving you. This assessment forms the foundation for your customized wellness plan. Together, we'll explore the 8 foundational elements of wellness to ensure you feel balanced and aligned with your goals and your values. This program goes beyond the surface, providing you with mental and emotional support. I will help you to manage stress, anxiety, and other challenges such as perfectionism and people-pleasing, offering techniques and strategies to enhance your resilience and your skills. The benefits of this program cannot be overstated. I'll be there every step of the way to support you in achieving balance and harmony in your life, manage stress, and improve your emotional well-being. Nurture healthy connections, create lasting, healthy habits, achieve your goals, and gain confidence in your ability to transform your life. Join me on this journey to holistic wellness. You could go to my website to check out my various packages, and you could go to my Calendly link found in the show notes to schedule a free 30-minute consultation call where we will go over the 8 core areas of wellness, as well as your goals and your dream life. Reach out and let's get started on your wellness journey so you can finally live the life you want. Hey everyone, this is your host Des, and you are listening to episode number 151 of The Wellness Project with Des. And I am so excited today because I am speaking with Avery Grace, who just so happens to be my youngest guest ever. Very, very exciting. Avery Grace is a 16-year-old girl that is passionate about mental health. She has her own podcast where she shares information, tips, and interviews guests about mental health, and she shares her own personal story with her mental health journey. So Avery Grace is here today to speak with me about her anxiety, depression, and PTSD. She gets candid with me about the struggles of being a 16-year-old girl, including bullying and the tricky parts of social media. This is going to be a really great conversation, and I really encourage you to listen to it to gain more of an understanding of what teens are going through and how they're struggling with their mental health. As most of you know, I work in a middle school and high school as a school social worker, and the struggle is real. The kids are going through it. They're really struggling with anxiety, depression, PTSD, bullying, toxic friendships, relationship issues, issues with unhealthy or toxic family members, abusive parents. They're really going through it and they're struggling and they need our support. And the only way we're going to be able to support them is if we listen and we become aware of what's going on with them and how they're struggling. So even if you don't have kids that are of teenage years, if you have any kids or teenagers in your periphery, in your life somewhere, nieces, nephews, friends' kids, whatever the case may be, I really encourage you to listen to this episode with an open mind and an open heart, with curiosity and wanting to understand and become aware. Help me welcome Avery Grace.
Hi, Avery. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm really looking forward to our conversation. So I would love to get us started if you could introduce yourself, who you are, and share your mental health journey with us.
Yeah, of course. I'm Avery. I'm 16 years old, and I'll just get into it. At age six, I was diagnosed with ADHD. My grandfather passed away, and my anxiety started showing up. I struggled throughout elementary school with my anxiety, and we then had a house fire the summer going into my sixth grade year. And that's when I was officially diagnosed with anxiety and also PTSD. I was already showing signs of depression when COVID hit. And as it hit, I struggled really badly. And that was kind of more my last year in middle school, so eighth grade. I was then hospitalized due to it, and I was finally diagnosed with depression. Unfortunately, I lost all my friends from this. And I decided then that I was going to go to the trade school in my town instead of going to the regular high school. Freshman year was a good year for me, I'm pretty sure. I mean, it feels like it was so long ago. And then sophomore year was rough. I chose the trade plumbing freshman year, and I was the only girl out of 18 of us. So there were 17 other teenage boys with me in my shop. I was harassed and bullied badly, to sum it up, and I was forced to switch my shop, and I went into early childhood. I mean, from then, I started sitting alone at lunch and stayed to myself, and now, presently, I'm still going through kind of it all, but I am now chronically ill. We just figured out, and I struggle through chronic pain. And all I do is kind of go to the doctors these days, but hopefully we answer soon. And I'm just kind of going one day at a time with life right now.
Okay. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing all that. Sounds like you've been through a lot from a very young age.
Oh, yes. I sure have.
Yeah. Would you mind taking us back? So you've struggled with anxiety, depression. Would you mind sharing what that looked like for you? What were some of your common symptoms or experiences?
Yeah, so with depression, it is on insomnia, mood swings, hopelessness, social isolation, weight gain, thoughts of suicide. Those are the main ones, kind of, for me personally. And then with anxiety, this one is more at a younger age where it was stomach aches because I didn't know that it was anxiety, so it was just a stomach ache. Fear of the what ifs. And that was major after my grandfather died. It was always with my siblings, mostly like worrying when we were walking on the sidewalk, if they were going to like run in and get hit, like, oh, what's going to happen if, I mean, this did happen having the fire, but what will we do if our house burns down? Like stuff like that. I was always nervous. Well, I'm not always still nervous, but again, that's going through therapy, avoiding certain things because of the anxiety. And then social anxiety, that was a big part of my anxiety. Just, I'm a very good socially, but just again, like standing up in front of the class and presenting. I've gotten better with a lot of this, but that was really bad through elementary and middle school.
Okay, thanks for sharing that. And so you did also mention that you were diagnosed with PTSD. Was that from fire specifically?
It was. I was in the house when the explosion happened. I heard it. I got my mom. We thought a fuse blew. I was at the top of the stairs. She came down and she was at a loss for words. And then at one point she was like, get out, get the dog, call 911. She ended up getting the dog again. I was, again, my anxiety showed there. I was like, he's going to run away from me. Like if I just grab him. So I went outside, called 911, watched my house erupt in flames and watched the smoke. I went to my neighbors. By the time I went out for the firefighters, everything was done. And we were put in hotels and then an apartment, and I did not sleep in my own bed until a few years ago. And the fire at this point, this summer, it would be 6 years ago. So it took me a really long time to sleep in my own bed. My dad ended up sleeping in my bed, and I slept with my mom every night. Once we got back into the house, I was wearing noise-canceling headphones to sleep because every sound ticked me off. At school, I had to be pulled out before the fire alarms and stuff like that. Again, like right now, it's still in my file. I have a big one, but it's not so much there anymore. Like, there's still some different parts of it, but like, I've gotten over a lot. I'm sitting in the basement right now where the fire happened, and that would have never happened years ago. So,
wow. Okay, great. So it sounds like your parents really knew that you were struggling. Was
yes.
aware that you were struggling? I know you mentioned the getting pulled before the fire mm-hmm. alarm for your anxiety, depression, ADHD.
Yeah.
Did you get any other sort of accommodations at school at all?
So in elementary school, the nurse, I don't really remember much, but the nurse kind of knew with my stomach aches. I never knew it. They never talked to me at that point. I was never talked to about it being anxiety. I was like 9, 10, not even younger. But I think I had a 504 plan. I don't really remember the elementary school one, but as I got into middle school, I had all my teachers were like new, especially since coming back from the fire, and I had accommodations in place. Like I said, my parents were like the two main people who noticed, and my mom is also a special education teacher. That was the best for me because she knew it and she knew how to deal with it. And she, I'm not going to say she did better than other parents, but she knew more and she knew how to go about it.
Yeah, that's extremely helpful. So at what age then did you start to understand that what you were struggling with was anxiety, was depression, was PTSD?
It was sixth grade, actually. I've always done therapy. I don't even remember when I started, probably young, just because I was acting out and just they thought it was just because of my siblings being born. They were twins. They're twins. So they came in at when I was 3 and a half, but it started being more. And again, I kind of had to go to actual talk therapy and more in depth once the fire hit. And that's when I was kind of told, I kind of probably knew in my head, but I was kind of told what was going on and what this meant. And from there, I had lots of knowledge and just how I go about in daily life and how I go about spreading awareness. So,
yeah, I was going to say at such a young age, you're such an advocate for mental health. So this seems to have made a really big impact on you. So are you mm-hmm. very open in your life about your mental health and your mental health struggles?
I am. And it sucks sometimes, especially being a teenager. Adults love it, think I'm awesome, and I know I'm awesome deep down, but where I am at this stage of life, I am looking for attention. And that took me a long time to realize that it wasn't true and that I was helping people and I wasn't just looking for attention. I can say for sure that some points it was for attention, but I mean, now it's just to help others and I just ignore what others say at this point.
Okay, great. And that's something so many people say is that this behavior is for attention. But we all need attention. I mean,
yep.
That's, we're social creatures. We do best when we're in community with each other. And
exactly.
When we're not getting that, we don't do well and we act out. So it might not even be mm-hmm. consciously, but we do need attention.
Especially after COVID.
yes. So I hate it when people say that as such a negative thing because we need attention to thrive.
Exactly. People don't get it. And I don't know, you just got to get used to it. And not that like that's a bad thing, but you'll thrive after that.
Yeah, exactly. So with being kind of in and out of therapy from a young age, and, you know, being aware of all your different diagnoses, and now being diagnosed with a chronic illness, how did you feel about being in therapy? Have you kind of stuck with the same therapist? Have you had to switch over time? Was there stigma surrounding that mm-hmm. being attached to it?
So I switched therapy after I was kind of okay with the PTSD. So probably going into, I don't even know, maybe like ninth grade, probably. That's when I started seeing I went to a whole different company. And I had a good therapist, but I ended up switching maybe a year or two ago to the woman I'm with now. And I love it. I've been consistent with it because it helps me. The stigma, I mean, for me, I'm not really going around saying, oh, I do therapy. But when anyone asks or I just put my info in, it never makes me feel like bad or anything. I think everyone needs therapy in their life. Just because you do therapy doesn't mean like something's wrong with you, but you could always do better and work on yourself.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And so I work in a middle school and high school. Mm-hmm. I'm a school social worker, and I find that the students are very open about being in therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think I know it's different for families and just different cultures and stuff. But for me, I've never had it be something that's bad whenever I've heard about it from others. And probably because I was in it from such a young age, I never thought about it that way. But even if I did think about it this way, I was never put into the idea that it's a bad thing. So lucky me.
Yeah, that's really great to hear. I love that. And so having this support from a young age, being in therapy, what kind of things have helped you to cope with your mental health and your different symptoms that you've had to deal with?
Like I said, therapy. I've done something called DBT, which you might know what it is, dialectical behavior therapy. There's something also called CBT, which is cognitive behavior therapy. I don't really know how to explain it, but that's what I went through. I actually just finished it up. It took maybe a year and a half to do, but I loved it and I use it. Again, like I've just said, another thing that's helped is not caring about what other people think about me, because it took a long time to do it. And it made me, I'm just a whole new person now after I've realized that it doesn't matter what they think, because they are struggling with their own thing. They're jealous or they're going through their own issues. And the other last thing, which is big, is social media. I still use social media. I'm a teenager. But again, just like unfollowing the people who didn't help me or like they weren't worth it. And that sounds really bad, but like, there's going to be people in your life that there's no reason for you to be sticking around other than just wanting to feel like you have someone there. It's just social media sucks. And I'm just doing my best to stay away from just being so obsessed with it. I mean, I'm more obsessed with TikTok, and that's probably better than like Snapchat or something. So,
yeah, same. I love me some TikTok. So,
yes, right? I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah, but just being on social media and just working in a middle school and high school, I see how social media and just even having cell phones negatively impact students. So that is something that I think schools are going to really need to address in the next few years.
Definitely, especially with how things are changing.
Absolutely. It's a big challenge. It's a really big challenge because I think people know that it's not good for them, but it's very, very addictive.
Exactly. And it's just like, I don't want to compare it to drugs or alcohol, but it's just, it's also like that, like, no matter how hard you want to stop, it's hard to let go of the habit.
Yeah, it's extremely challenging. So you also mentioned that you were diagnosed with a chronic illness. Would you mind sharing what you were diagnosed with?
Yeah. So I'm hyperflexible. I'm not too flexible, but I'm flexible, which means that my muscles aren't strong. And that puts me in pain. So I do PT and stuff like that, that I had to see a rheumatologist for, because a lot of other doctors were telling me it was my depression and anxiety. So we had to fight for it. Right now, I will be going to do genetic testing for EDS, which is Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. And they're pretty much 99.9% sure I will be diagnosed with it. Again, I don't really know how to explain it, but a simple Google search will probably tell you a lot.
Yeah, actually, when you mentioned the flexibility, that's what came to mind, because I have POTS, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, which is under dysautonomia, as is EDS. Yeah, so I've learned a little bit about that.
So we actually also thought I had that due to just being like prone to fainting and just always feeling all those symptoms. But I went to the cardiologist and my heart looks great. And so that's good for me. But there's still things going on. So we're not all clear yet.
Okay, gotcha. Well, I hope you find some answers soon. And that's such a common thing we've talked about on the podcast before, that whatever the health issue, especially with women, it's doctors say, oh, it's anxiety.
Exactly. It's your hormones. It's your depression. It's postpartum. It's all this. Yep. Yeah, it takes a lot to ask for what you need and to know that it's not that.
Yeah, exactly. To be a really strong self-advocate, which can be really, really hard. So do your parents go with you to these appointments? Do they help you advocate for yourself?
Yeah, my mom's more of the person who goes. Not like my dad doesn't care, but she's the one who keeps it all in her brain. But yes, I go to my regular doctor's appointments, but she kind of has all her stuff. I keep track of my meds, but she has her notes. I don't even go into that because I know she knows it better than me and can explain it better. Because sometimes I'm just like, they're like, oh, how are you feeling? I'm like, Mom, you can go because you have it all written down.
Sounds like your mom is quite the force.
Oh, yes, definitely. Oh, I can't. But she is a good woman, so I'm lucky.
Yeah, that's great that you have the support of your parents and that your mom is there for you.
Exactly.
So along with all of this that you've had to deal with from such a young age and the chronic illness, the mental health diagnoses, what do you do kind of on a daily basis to take care of yourself, to support your mental health?
Yeah. For me, it's been hard to get up in the mornings, but I try to go to sleep at a time where I know I can wake up without having to struggle to get up. I've played around with the times. Like if I go to bed at 9, I end up too tired because I overslept. But now if I go to bed at 10, I can wake up between 6 to 7, depending on what I need to do in the morning to go to school without having to fight. I'm supposed to do my PT exercises every day. I will say I don't, and that definitely doesn't help. But when I do it, it does help. That really helps. What else? Drinking water, just getting exercise, doing something, because the more you sit and do nothing, it's going to get worse. Trying to have my alone time, which is also hard when you have depression and want to self-isolate. But after being in school all day, I'm drained and I'm like, just leave me alone. Finding a hobby, I'd say. I never used to have hobbies, but then I realized what I love to do, which is like reading, doing home renovation projects. Cleaning, I say that it's a hobby of mine, and organizing. But finding hobbies, I mean, those things are like the main things I do. Taking my meds, just again, like even just self-advocating for myself and what I need through the day at school especially helps too. So
great. Really helpful. Thanks for sharing all of that. And so you mentioned self-isolating. Outside of your parents, do you have a strong supportive network?
When it comes to adults and family friends, yes. The problem I've always struggled with, again, after losing my bigger group of friends, I don't have friends. It sounds bad coming from my mouth, but at this point, I'm okay with it. I know some people might wonder, like, are you really okay with it? I mean, at this point, I think I'm like, just teenagers suck at this point, and I don't want to put myself through a friendship that's just going to suck more life out of me. So I have a good idea of what's going to come for college, where I'm going to try more to make friends and so on. But right now I'm okay with it. But yeah, I have a lot of adults who are my support system, and I have family friends, kids, but they're more a little bit younger than me, but it's good to have them at least. So.
Okay. I'm glad that you bring this up because I think that being a teenager is really hard, especially socially. And there's actually such this interesting epidemic happening right now where a lot of people are having a lot of trouble finding friends, even adults and people in their 30s. And, you know, so a lot of people are struggling to make these connections. And there's a lot of different aspects that go into it. But I find that probably one of the easiest ages in my life that I had a really big group of friends was college. That was kind of the easiest time to make friends, and everybody was looking for friends. I think teenager, very hard to find friends, and then working adult, it's hard to make
them. Yeah, exactly. And I totally agree. Yeah, I just am going to have a positive outlook going into college. And I don't know, I don't want to start thinking negatively right now. So when it happens and I don't make friends, or I do, whatever happens, I'll work on it then.
Well, I love your positive outlook, and I think you have a lot of great things to look forward to, for sure.
Yes, definitely. Thank you.
So being a teenager, what is something that you wish everyone knew about what it's like being a teenager in today's world?
It sucks. Adults, I'm not going to say are always judging, but they think because we're still young that we don't have the right to struggle. I've seen that in a lot of adults I've encountered. Kids are mean to each other for so many different reasons. We're constantly under pressure for different things, from school to sports to home life to practically everything you can think of. We're all just trying our best, honestly. For me, I can definitely say I'm trying my best. I can't speak for everyone, but I know a lot of the majority are just trying their best to get through it. So yeah, that's kind of what I have to say about it.
Okay. And how do you think that adults can better support teenagers or better support them with their mental health?
I think just small bouts of criticism feels like we're not supported. So even just not even saying anything that could come off as being judgmental and just lending a helping hand, no matter what it is, can make the biggest difference, no matter how tiny it is. And just like noticing that what we're doing is awesome. Like, I'm so proud of your grades. You're doing so good. Wow. You look at how good you are at soccer. Whoa. Like, just the tiniest compliments and helping hands can make difference.
Okay. That's really, really great for the adults listening to know. So thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
Avery, what tips or words of wisdom or advice do you have for those that are struggling with their mental health?
I would say that it's okay to not be okay. That is kind of my quote I use everywhere I go. And that you're allowed to struggle and still be an awesome person. And no matter what, things will get better, whether it's learning to cope or just not struggling anymore. Some days will be bad, but some will be very good. And you're allowed to live your life to the fullest, anxiety, depression, or not.
I love that. That is so true. That really resonates. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
Avery, I would love if you can share with everyone where they can find you and tell us about your own podcast.
Yeah. So my podcast is called I Am Avery. I kind of talk about mental health and everything that intertwines with it. So everything in life, practically. I have guests and I kind of just talk about my life stories and how I got through it. And you can find me on Spotify for the podcast to listen to. I'm trying to get things out on YouTube. It's I Am Avery on Spotify and I Am Avery 98 on YouTube, I think. And you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. And I think I sent you the links, but they're usually I Am Avery or I Am Avery 98, just like that. They're all kind of different.
All right, perfect. Yes, everyone, I'm going to put all of Avery's links in the show notes, so definitely go check her out. Avery, thank you so much for being here today and sharing your story. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I love to spread awareness and help others learn more.
Absolutely. I love the work that you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you.
I really hope that you liked this episode and gained a lot of value from it. If you did like this episode, please share it on social media. You can tag me at The Wellness Project with Des on Instagram and at According to Des on Facebook. If you do enjoy my podcast and gain value from it, I would greatly appreciate your support. You can show your love and support by buying me a coffee. This will help my podcast to grow and in turn will help me to keep bringing on amazing guests. You can go to buymeacoffee.com/The Wellness Project with Des to show your support. All books written by or recommended by my amazing podcast guests are listed on my Amazon storefront. Go to the link in the show notes to check out those books. I would love to extend an invite to you to become a part of my community. You can do this through Facebook, where we will be discussing this episode. I would love for you to share your insights, any aha moments, any thoughts or ideas you would like to contribute. You can contribute in the discussion taking place in my Facebook group, and it's a great place to connect with me because I am in there every day with mental health and wellness content, discussions, reflections, journal prompts. It's a fun and supportive place to be. You can find the group at facebook.com/groups/accordingtodes, and that link will also be in the show notes. You can also check out more of what I'm doing on my website, accordingtodes.com. You'll find a lot of wellness blogs, written interviews, detailed podcast show notes, and my shop, where you will be able to find workshops, my self-care course, digital downloads, ebooks. There's a lot going on my website, so make sure you check that out at accordingtodez.com. And while you're there, join my email list to stay in the know about what I have going on and available for you. When you sign up, you will get your free ebook, The 5 Stress Reduction Techniques to Help You Feel More Relaxed. Thank you so much for being here. I will talk to you next week. So until then, I hope you have a calm and peaceful week.